Good morning. With me is Jeff Foe, who founded the Economic Policy Institute in 1986 and made it into the country's leading think tank on the political and economic issues that working Americans face. In 2003, he stepped down as EPI's president and is now Distinguished Fellow. Foe has taught and published on a wide variety of economic and political issues, and is the author or co-author of 6 books, the latest being The Servant Economy, Where America's Elite is Sending the Middle Class. He has written numerous articles for newspapers, magazines, and journals, one of which we'll discuss today that appeared in The Nation and on his website, The Dogs of War Will Eat Us. Welcome to KABU, Jeff Foe.
Well, great to have the invitation. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, Jeff, as the Biden administration and Congress wrangle over the debt ceiling, neither side has proposed cuts to a bloated military budget that now costs over $1 trillion annually. You write about how both political parties continue to support this out-of-control war machine, including 800 bases in 80 countries. How and why does the Pentagon have such a hold on Congress?
Well, first, we need to understand that we are now launched wars on 4 fronts. We're at war with Russia, China, Iran, and everything on this terrorist list, which includes whoever the State Department doesn't like that week. So why did we get to this situation? I think partly what's happened was, especially since Vietnam, the governing class of this country has cleverly disconnected war from the ordinary lives of Americans. It started with Nixon, who stopped the draft, which meant that ordinary Americans didn't have to worry about, you know, them or their kids being dragged off to war. The second was Reagan, who taught the conservatives that they could borrow money to finance war and still keep the reputation as fiscal conservatives. And then I think finally, to make it bipartisan, Obama expanded the use of remote control drone warfare, where even the soldiers, you know, can fight just by pushing buttons and looking at a screen and have no immediate personal responsibility for the death and destruction. So what's happened is the average American has been disconnected. And when Biden launched this operation in the Ukraine, he said, well, you know, this is America. We stand up to bullies. Well, in fact, we haven't gotten off our couches because most Americans view war through their television set or online, completely divorced. It's a form of infotainment. And this has worked so far. But what's happening now was, while it worked, as long as the revenues into the government through borrowing or taxes could continue to finance the war machine and give a little bit to domestic spending, that is now being squeezed. U.S. economic power, I mean, and we have to understand that these fronts that I'm talking about with China and Iran and Russia, there's no threat to the average American here. These people are a threat to the governing class's global domination. And so when we think about military spending and we think about the war, it's very important to understand the separate interests here. There's the interest of the average American, and then there's the interest of the few Americans who run the empire, and they're quite different. The American empire is benefiting mostly Wall Street and the Pentagon profits and promotions, and has very little to do with the safety of the average American. In fact, as we see in the Ukraine already, the threat of nuclear war has been endangering the safety of the average American. But what's happened in the world is U.S. economic power is shrinking. And as we can't use the leverage of finance as strongly as we used to. We're looking more and more to military power to dominate. And military power has always been important, but the dollar has been an instrument of U.S. governing class domination in the world. And now that is a problem. 30, 40 years ago, the United States still produced 40% or so of the world's GDP. We are now at 15%. China is at 16%. So we don't have the leverage. And you can see this in the weakness of our efforts to put economic constraints on Russia and Iran. We're not as strong as we used to be. So the empire needs more military power in order to keep its domination. Meanwhile, on the domestic side, the domestic problems are getting more and more expensive. You cannot deal with climate control. You cannot deal with inequality. You cannot deal with the social divisions. You cannot deal with the insurrections that are going on in the United States without thinking about investing a lot more money in these solutions. And we've got a climate control problem that can't be solved if we're at war with China and Russia. It just cannot be solved. So if you're worried about climate change, this war is going to destroy the little opportunity we have to deal with that.
Well, Jeff, your previous books, The Servant Class and The Global Class War, identify these economic elites and their policies that have destroyed the U.S. middle class and impoverished much of the world over the past 40 years. And to what extent does the blank check for the war industry accelerate this growing inequality?
Oh, that's what's going on now. I mean, what has happened is that if you tap into the dialogue and the discussions going on within the defense establishment, I mean, they're just tearing up the pea patch here. They've got contracts that are just pouring out of the Pentagon, and it's not just for to help the Ukrainians. These are long term contracts. It's locking in Raytheon and Lockheed and their financial investors for a long period of time. Just for example, the U.S. Navy says, well, in order to defend us against China and Russia and everybody else, we're going to need, something like 200, 300 more big, heavy warships. And of course, we're not going to be able to produce them until something like 2040. What this means is the next 35 years of huge outlays for defense in order to fulfill this, this empire of domination. The bottom line here is that we used to be a way to afford to do both. We didn't do very well on the domestic side, but the governing class put out enough money to keep things quiet. And once they got rid of the draft, people didn't have to worry about their own vulnerability to war. They got rid of the taxes, so they're not paying for the war. And Obama got rid of even soldiers having to watch the destruction that they're doing. Once we got rid of that, it was, it was manageable, but now it's not getting manageable.
Well, let's just look at the expanding war in Ukraine now with U.S. advisors there. Explain the folly of continuing to send more weapons, missiles, and fighter jets to Ukraine. You point out that the United States can't even supply what weapons it has promised to Ukraine and Taiwan, much less engage in expanding wars.
We are over our head in just the Ukraine. And of course, it starts the way it starts in all of these wars that we've been involved in. And that is the leaders saying, oh, listen, we're not going to get deep into this. We're just going to give a little aid on the side. And then, of course, once you make this commitment, once Biden says, well, we're going to be with the Ukraine, whatever it takes. Well, Of course, it takes more than they have told us. First, they said that it wouldn't be, you know, the high-tech weapons, and then they put the high-tech weapons in. Then it went up and up and up, and now it's the F-16s. And when you put this, here's part of the mechanism of escalation. You put these weapons into the Ukraine, you've got to train people. And it's not enough to bring them to Fort Bragg or something and give them, you know, 3 weeks training. You got to be there with these people. And so more and more Americans are going to get sucked in to the war itself. And then, of course, there's going to be deaths. You don't hang around in a war zone without the risk of dying. So what happens then? Then it's going to be, oh, the Russian missile hit an American. And, you know, and then it just escalates up and up and up from that. And in this case, the original Cold War, at least you had adults on both sides. But now it's getting close to the point where it's out of control. And it may be out of control now. Biden has made so many belligerent statements about the Ukraine war, including things like, you know, bringing Putin to international war crime trial and all that. This is just lunacy. But we know from the past, from Vietnam, from Iraq, from Afghanistan, from Somalia, from Lebanon, from all of these places, that you know, once you start these things, they have a life of their own. David Halberstam wrote that book a long time ago about Vietnam, and he made the point that actually the military did not want to go in at the beginning, but it was the civilian people in the White House who said, well, we'll go in, and if it's not working, we'll come out. Well, once you go in, the military takes over, because now you've told them their job is to kill and, you know, and triumph. So.
And there are also the unintended consequences and the blowback that always occur after these interventions and wars. And you write about the demonization of Putin, much like the United States demonized Saddam Hussein, and this kind of comic book logic that reduces everything to us versus the good guys, us as the good guys versus the bad guys.
And comic book is about the level of our national discourse on this. I mean, I'm not just talking about, supermarket newspapers. I'm talking about the New York Times and the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal and all of these places. They're just, they're incessant. We're the good guys. So anything that we do is acceptable. We invade other countries. Hey, that's okay because we're the good guys. Well, once you accept that's the comic book logic, once on the first page, you read, you know, you see the first image of who the good guy is and who the bad guy is, then everything else follows. And there's no, room for anything else. It's like the anti-war movement is, there is no anti-war movement in the United States. And partly it's because, as I said, what Reagan and Nixon and Obama did to disconnect people from the war. But also partly it's because, it's because the left in America has not really grappled with what a wise person said to me once, and that is, in war, there are two losers. It's the people who lose and the people who thought they won. And the thing about this is that if there's going to be an anti-war movement, it's got to start focusing on what it's doing to America, what it's doing to Americans. You know, most of the left critique, and it's, you know, not, it's more, let's admit it, it's marginal in politics, has been on the horrors that we're raining on the rest of the world. It's certainly, a very, very, very important point. But the way to move the empire here, you know, we're in the heart of the empire, the heart of the beast here. And the way to move the empire is the way it was finally moved over Vietnam. And that is, it was about what it was doing to this country. And we got to get back to that. And what it's doing to this country is preventing us from dealing with climate change, inequality, international competitiveness, all of those things. And, you know, that's the real stake. It's not so much the marginal budget item, but it's what it's doing to this country that is diverting from the issues that we need. We know we could have had a deal with Russia, and that is Ukraine stays out of NATO and Russia allows the Ukraine to grow and, you know, whichever way it wants to. And that was the Cold War solution in Austria. It was the Cold War solution in Finland. But Biden rejected it. And so the Ukrainians are now destroying their country, destroying their families, the terrible stuff that's going on there, in order for the Ukraine to join NATO. You know, I'm waiting for the New York Times to ask the question of all these people who are suffering in the Ukraine, do you think this was worth it? And, you know, no human being would answer that it was worth it.
Well, Jeff Foe, we appreciate you joining us today on the Old Mole Variety Hour. We will direct people to read your recent pieces, including The Dogs of War Will Eat Us. And we hope that your work will motivate the left and many others to join in halting this and many other wars as we face a very dangerous new world indeed, thanks to the United States. Thanks again, Jeff Foe.
Thanks, Lori.